This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hiller Moore, the district attorney for East Baton Rouge Parish, is in the House. He's been DA for 11 years, elected in 2008. He beat Dan Glater to get the job and succeeded Doug Morrow as the top prosecutor in the largest parish in Louisiana. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. You can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And every year as we wind down, we get Hiller Moore's take on crime in our community, and we have a high murder rate per capita in Baton Rouge, but this year the numbers have actually gone down, and usually when they go down, they don't get as much attention as they do when they go up. How are we looking right now?
Well, you know, at this point, we still have way too many murders that the city our size. But at this point this year, we're at 57. So last year we ended at 86 and the year before 103. So I'd say we are doing fairly well now, but we still have two more months to go. And yeah, those months have really been somewhat high in some of the past years. We're averaging maybe 14 or 10 murders per month. So we have to be careful.
You never know.
Nope.
And for every one of those, you're on the scene, aren't you?
I try to get as many as I can, for a lot of reasons that every homicide counts, regardless of where it is or the location, to get to meet the families, get to meet the citizens that are there, interact with the police, and see the scene ourselves so we know how to present it to a jury.
Well, I mentioned leading in today that with St. George possibly becoming a reality, that 86,000 people will be carved out of the city limits of Baton Rouge. The parish remains the same. Hiller Moore is still the DA for the whole parish, but that means those crime statistics for the city of Baton Rouge will go up even more, and quite possibly we'll have on the record the most murderous city in America with nothing actually changing, just the configuration of the borders of various cities. So from a PR perspective, that has to be an issue, and of course, in a quality of life perspective, it's an issue.
Yeah, as well as attracting business, keeping business here. So sure, that the numbers will be skewed just because of that. So that's something we'll surely have to take a look at and take into consideration.
How many of those do you generally solve, ballpark figure?
So Baton Rouge Police and the Sheriff's Office, you know, they really do a good job investigating homicides, and some people would surely wish them to do more, but they're really limited by the amount of help and assistance that citizens give, because we believe that on every homicide, there are people who know exactly what happened but are afraid or do not wish to come forward. But I believe that right now the solve rate, that is the arrest rate, is probably a little bit over 50%. I'm not sure of the exact number. But then from, you know, so that means half of them are there's no arrest. And then those that are arrested, you have to remember arrest is probable cause and not beyond a reasonable doubt. So our burden shifts immediately upon handcuffs being placed on someone.
And people are reluctant to talk.
No doubt about it. It's a struggle. So right now, for the most part, we are relying on technology to help solve these crimes, and phones and text messages, cell towers, DNA, fingerprints, you name it.
877-217-5757 for Hiller Moore, the district attorney for East Baton Rouge Parish. Next year he will be up for reelection. My guess is that you do plan on seeking a third term. Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Katie in St. George, you're going to have to pull her up, Matt. Katie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Katie. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Are you there?
Yes. What's your question?
I have a question for Hiller. What should victims of crimes in East Baton Rouge expect as far as being informed? And if they don't feel like they're being communicated with from the DA's office, what can they do? Should they do?
Yeah, good question. So, Katie, I would suggest if you don't mind, if you have a particular issue or know someone, just call me. 389-3412, and I will surely try to answer any questions to find out if there's any lack of information that's going to victims. But it depends on the particular case and where we are in the process. So I'd be, you know, anyone can call that number and speak to me, and I will try to get the answer.
Thank you, Katie. 877-217-5757. Tracy at the Capitol asked, do you live in St. George or what will be St. George?
I do not. I live close to LSU, right off of Highland Road.
Okay. So that's out of the way. But obviously this affects you. But will there be a courthouse where crimes are litigated? What's going to happen?
I mean, surely they could have, you know, like Baker, Zachary have their own small city courts. They could surely have that in Central. That would probably have little impact on us, but they would handle maybe some of the misdemeanors. They surely would not handle the felonies, not allowed to. Really have no idea what the impact's going to be for St. George. I think it's right now, it's just a wait and see.
Well, as mentioned, Hiller Moore's finishing his 11th year. So if we do the math, I'm sure in those 11 years there have been ballpark 1,000 murders in Baton Rouge. And yeah, you've been to most of those murder scenes. And amazingly, he looks about the same as he did when he was elected in 2008.
I think I used to look like Jeff LaDuff, you know, tall and handsome. And now I'm just the opposite.
You have more hair than Jeff LaDuff.
I may have a little more hair than he does.
But it's got to take its toll.
Sure it does. You know, mainly meeting with the families is more than actually going to the scenes. And then when you can't tell them what you would like to tell them, that there's been an arrest and there's going to be a conviction or going to be a prosecution, seeing those lingering effects on families. And like yesterday when we walked the streets in Brookstown, speaking to the families of people that you know, the murder scenes that you've been to before, and not a lot of things have changed. So that does take somewhat of a emotional toll on you.
All right. Kylie asks about so-called justifiable homicides, like mm-hmm. the Clyde Edwards-Helaire shooting mm-hmm. a year ago, the running back from LSU who killed a man in self-defense. Those do not count on murder statistics, do they?
They do not. We do keep track of justifiable homicides, and I'm trying to see if I have that number handy. I don't see it in front of me, but we use homicide or murder by the Uniform Crime Reports, the UCRs. And justifiable homicide and negligent homicide are not one of those.
And sadly, like the young man who was killed in the Edwards-Helaire incident, this kid, he didn't have a long rap sheet, did he?
Not to my knowledge. I recall having some, somewhat of a rap sheet, but I wouldn't call it a terribly long rap sheet.
Usually, though, when people get into this kind of thing, you can see it coming.
No doubt about it, and overwhelming majority of people who defendants or victims, they are, have been through the system before, may have been shot at before or shot at others before. And so if you are running in that circle of people, and we're talking about a small number of people and a small segment of the community or community different mm-hmm. places, you are 900 times more likely to kill or be killed than anyone else. So if you know someone or associate with someone who's been shot at or shot and hit, that's not good for you in Baton Rouge or anywhere else in the United States. And mm-hmm. that correlation has played out throughout the years.
And Britta asks about the technology that you have mentioned on this show that allows you to monitor shots fired. That has improved some, hasn't it?
ShotSpotter technology has improved. The only problem is that ShotSpotter is limited to around 8 to 9 square miles in Baton Rouge, and that surely can't cover the parish. And our ShotSpotter coverage, where we have it existing, was based on data from years ago, although it's still pertinent. We still would like to have more coverage. It's expensive. It's $70,000 per year per square mile.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Hiller Moore. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, Mr. Moore, has the Cajun contractor supporter of Rasponi threatened you with a Republican opponent unless you switch parties?
No, I have not. I've not been in contact with anyone about anyone running against me.
Well, and Lane Grigsby, he's big into education issues. I don't know that he has gotten intricately involved in what Hiller Moore does, but you're one of those officials who has transcended party affiliation. Some believe that jobs like DA and sheriff shouldn't even require party affiliation. Would it be better if you just ran as Hiller Moore?
I'm not sure, but I would possibly. You know, there are some people that say that nobody should be elected. Everyone should now be appointed. I'm not a proponent of that. I think that people should be elected by the people and not appointed by one or two.
Now, tell us about the 72-hour arraignment process. There has been a change on this front. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a complete game changer for Baton Rouge and for the state of Louisiana. DAs have, in Louisiana, for a long time to bring someone, to charge somebody, 30, 60, 90, 120 days. It's a long time. So someone could sit in jail without actually being charged and maybe not even going to court. So we saw this. We saw the jail population obviously increasing. We saw people getting left behind in prison. And those were generally those that are suffering from mental health issues. And we wanted to find a way, how can we quickly speed up this process? It took us around 2 years, and we're finally at that stage now.
We'll spend some more time with Hiller Moore, the district attorney for East Baton Rouge Parish, largest parish in the city, in the state of Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we return after this 90-second pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Hiller Moore, 11 years DA of East Baton Rouge Parish, which has a population that statistically is one of the most violent in America, and it was that way long before Hiller Moore got the job as a prosecutor, and he's been doing his thing as an investigator and in the law enforcement realm for 35 years or more?
40-something.
40-something, yeah. Well, Hiller, you were talking about the 72-hour arraignment process, and you believe that's a game changer. Why?
Well, like I indicated, that by law, we have a long time in Louisiana to bring people to charge folks, and we wanted to speed that process up. This has been a two-year commitment, and I really want to compliment all of the law enforcement agencies, because we've imposed upon them to give us, the DA's office, a report that states probable cause within 24 hours. Normally, it's been a week to 2 weeks before we receive that report. Now it's 24 hours. That's a big change for them, and they are 95 to 90% compliant, and my hat's off to them. Secondly, the sheriff's office and the parish prison, the way that they've now been transporting prisoners under this 72-hour rule, phenomenal. The judges that agreed to vote on this and all the law enforcement agencies and the men and women at the DA's office that we have now imposed upon ourselves. Once we receive a report, we then impose upon ourselves a 24-hour rule to file charges, decide not to file charges, or select a new date that this person will come back to court. The judges have agreed to arraign or meet these defendants within 24 hours. So this sped up the process from a month to 72 hours, and that means a lot less people that would have ordinarily been bonded out of jail that would have stayed in jail now get out much quicker. So,
Debbie in St. George. Hi, Debbie. You're on the air with Hiller Moore. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just have a question about the crime count statistics if St. George incorporates. How does that affect the city count, given that St. George is not part of the city?
So it affects some ways, I guess, is that so we look at homicide and generally in crime in Baker Central, Zachary,
the whole parish.
We look at them, segregate
that would
them.
Change.
Correct, it wouldn't change at all.
But St. George would have a murder count.
Correct.
And Baton Rouge would have a murder count.
But the parish would remain the same. It's
right.
I look at it as a parish, not a
well, because
city,
you're elected
the DA.
To represent every.
Correct. So it really doesn't make any difference to
okay.
us.
Okay, but thank you. It's a good question, but Baton Rouge is per capita murder rate, not the actual numbers, but the per capita murder rate will go up. 877-217-5757. You were a major advocate of the Bridge Center. How is that working?
Well, we just hired an executive director, Charlotte Claiborne. She's going to do a fabulous job for us. She's been in the field before. We had a long meeting with her yesterday as to how the DA's office will work with that role. And we have a provider now that's going to really run the program. So now trying to find a place to live, you know, where we're going to be. And so we have some places that we're looking at. Hopefully they're getting close. There'll be a building cost. We have to build out the place because it has to be set in a particular way. And when we're going to be open and running, I'm not positive. So maybe middle of the summer, beginning of the summer, somewhere around there, we hope to. Mm-hmm. We hope to see around 5,000 people a year, a calendar year.
And these are people who have mental health challenges.
Correct. And so it's a family can bring their family member in. The person can bring themselves in. Or law enforcement can mm-hmm. divert them from the emergency room or the parish prison and bring them to the Bridge Center.
Now, in East Baton Rouge Parish, we have talked with the coroner and others about the opioid crisis. And when we talk about 57 murders in Baton Rouge, that's a lot through 10 months. But the numbers are even higher for opioid deaths.
Yes.
Where are we now on this?
So I spoke with Dr. Clark and Shane Evans, his chief investigator. And at this point, sadly, in Baton Rouge, we're around 100 total overdose
for
deaths
this year.
For this year.
10 a month.
Yes. That's a big number. And it's probably the biggest number that Dr. Clark has ever seen. It surely is the biggest number I've seen. And we always predicted that when this was coming along that the overdose the rate would surpass the murder rate, and surely that's happening this year. The big part of that number, I believe, is that 95 of the 100 are opioid-related, whether it's heroin alone, heroin mixed with fentanyl, or fentanyl alone mixed maybe with some other drugs. So that's a huge number for a community our size. And I understand that communities around Baton Rouge, like Livingston, probably are seeing similar numbers for their size.
And this is one that hits every demographic group.
Yes. We surely have seen it hit all. It seems to be more white male and females than any other.
But younger people?
Younger folks. And, you know, those that are returning from treatment that not used to obviously having the drugs, and they go right back to the drug use. And, you know, when you use heroin and fentanyl, it's not coming in a pill. You don't know a dosage unit, don't know what you're getting. And it pretty much tells your brain to stop.
Mm-hmm. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mickey in Mid-City. Good morning, Mickey. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. I was just wondering how the interaction with the Bridge Center and the sheriff's office would work, if people would be diverted there while still having charges, if it would be an alternative to incarceration, how quickly they'd be returned to the parish jail, just how that interaction would work.
Hey, Mickey, that's a really good question. So not positive just yet, but it really is going to depend on the charge. So if the police pick up somebody that's committed an offense, there would be a difference if the victim in the offense is a family member that really doesn't want the person to go to jail. They just want them to get help. And in that case, I'm sure that family member would tell the officer, look, would you please just take care of this person, bring him to the Bridge Center. We don't want him being arrested. And that person would be brought to the Bridge Center, would be stabilized hopefully in 3 days, and then bridged to other services. It'd be a different story if it's someone who's not related and someone that's having mental health problems commits some offense, depending on what the offense is. And that person may be brought to the Bridge Center, stabilized, and then booked into parish prison. However, at that point, everyone is now aware that you have a prisoner who is suffering from mental health issues. And I believe that at the beginning, you'll see that only nonviolent offenders will be brought to the Bridge Center at the beginning, because you have other patients that are in there, and that's something that we're going to have to wait and see.
Tim Slack writes, I know Hiller's office has been doing innovative work bringing together various law enforcement agencies and LSU researchers to do data-driven group-based interventions in Baton Rouge. Can you talk a bit about those efforts?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I know Tim knows a lot about that. So we're looking at the interactions of people. I mentioned earlier that although we have a high homicide rate, and we look at zip codes like 70805 and 02, we call out those zip codes. Actually, it's only a small segment of 70805 and 70802, and a very small group of people. And so we do look at their social network analysis, how are they interacting with each other, what can we do to disrupt that social network amongst those people, and hopefully lower the murder rate. But LSU surely has been an integral partner with us, and we continue to work with them.
Morgan LaMondre writes, the DA's office provides critical funding for organizations like STAR, our local sexual assault center. Will funding for STAR and other organizations be affected because of the incorporation of St. George?
Well, Morgan surely knows she's at the forefront of all of this, especially the sexual trauma and the work that she and the group does, not only for Baton Rouge, but all the surrounding parishes that they do. Again, right now, we just don't know what's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we understand that they believe that they'll have enough taxes to fund constitutional offices. But with any extra money that we have, mm-hmm. we donate money to STAR, because we live and die with STAR, and they service all of our victims, and we need them. And without that money, if our ability to give them the money, services will probably be cut. But again, I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Well, as we head to the break, I know Rachel Hebert has credited you with being a big part of the formation of STAR.
Yeah, Rachel was an employee at the DA's office. She has really set this thing on fire and has really been a game changer here for sexual trauma.
877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Hiller Moore, and then we'll segue to Brian Shaw, the LSU Music School. Big events coming this weekend. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Hiller Moore, the district attorney. You still have a chance to get in under the wire with him. 877-217-5757 is your number. Hiller Moore, as mentioned, has been over 40 years in law enforcement, the last 11 as district attorney. He's a native of New Orleans, and if you look at those FBI crime statistics, they're fascinating, because crime, believe it or not, was higher when we were kids than it is now. But yet the perception is the other way around.
It's true. And I'm not sure why it's that way, but surely crime has surely gone down.
But when we were kids, we didn't fear crime the way kids do today. Maybe because in some areas it's more concentrated than it was then. I don't know, but I remember riding my bicycle into the night in New Orleans and in North Little Rock and never fearing for my life or anything like that. But today kids really have challenges.
Hearing more and you're hearing it quicker. And back in that day, in New Orleans even, you're not going to hear about what happened in the 6th Ward if you're living in the 9th Ward. But now you hear it all. You hear it very quickly.
So is part of it a media thing?
I don't think there's any doubt. I think that has to be part of it.
That we just know more. We know more now than we did then.
When I speak to people, when I tell them that our murders are down, they said, "How can it be? Because it just doesn't feel that way." And I tell them, "Look, I understand, because I read and hear and see what you see, but I have the numbers, and it's
numbers." Oh yes, I believe crime was highest, believe it or not, in the United States in the 1950s, which was considered this idyllic time in our country. But crime, murder, including murder.
And I think maybe sometime in the 70s may have given it a run back then as well.
But we have some challenges in the big cities in Louisiana, and because of that, Louisiana does have the highest murder rate in America, but it has for about 40 years running.
Yep.
That's why I'm amused that Eddie Rasponi is using this as a campaign issue with John Bel Edwards. Yes, we have the highest murder rate in America, but we had the highest murder rate in America under Mike Foster, under Buddy Romer, under Edwin Edwards. It's something we have to live with here, and you have seen the carnage, and we've talked a lot about it, but is there any turning back?
Yeah, I think so. I think we really have to pay attention on the front end, and that's education. And you see a lot of articles about how we may be failing in education. You saw the story about guns in schools. We need to take a look at that. The other is we need to look at our recidivism rate. Right now, if you are a state prisoner or convicted in Baton Rouge, you can serve your state time at one of 91 different locations around the state and are probably not going to receive a lot of training or correction, and you're going to be released without a whole lot of tools to succeed. And when the recidivism rate is 45%, that's low-hanging fruit that we can really help people on their return, before they return, to get them better off, because their future is set in the first 3 to 11 days when they have no home, no transportation, no skills to get a job. What do you expect? It's going to be the same thing all over again.
Is the jury out on criminal justice reform?
I mean, yeah, sure, it's still early to tell, but I think we see some successes, and I think some you have to really wait and see. But it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of effort and a lot of people to help these that are most at risk. So I think we just have to be safe and always be mindful of public safety when we're talking about reform.
How's your budget?
Terrible, just like most others in the criminal justice field. That is something we really need to tackle and find ways to add additional folks. We are 13 people short. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about this 72-hour process, our people are frazzled. We ask them to do more things than they've ever done before, go work on community events in the nighttime, mm-hmm. on the weekend, do expungement clinics on the weekend. But the volume is there, and this work is tedious, hard work. You're dealing with people and people's lives. And when you are outmanned in the courtroom, it's not good, particularly for public safety, and on the same hand, for letting someone go that maybe has corrected their situation. Mm-hmm. Both ways, putting someone in jail that needs to be there, and then the other hand, looking at others that have done what they're supposed to do, and let's move them along and get them out of the system. So we need to find a way to have more people, not only for DAs, but judges and public defenders, and do a better job at what we do.
Do you have fewer people now than you did at the start?
Absolutely.
11 13. Years ago.
Yes.
13 fewer than you did then. So, and people make a difference. And I recall, we'll finish on this, on a previous show, Hiller Moore was commenting about when LSU hired this passing game coordinator, Joe Brady. Certainly he's been a game changer for the Fighting Tigers.
Absolutely.
What if you had a coordinator like that, somebody who's into the criminal justice aspect of life, who could bring some new ideas, new approaches, and have the time to implement them.
So when we spoke last, it was Ed Ogeron that was talking about how many specific people that Nick Saban has at Alabama. Mm-hmm. And he takes one team every year, this analyst. And so there are that many analysts on Alabama staff. If we had that and just broke down of crime, well, I think you'd see a big difference.
All right. Matt tells me we've had a caller hanging on, Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, please be brief. You're on with Hiller Moore. Hi, Gustavo.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Moore, I just wanted to thank you profoundly on behalf of the entire East Baton Rouge Parish community, because I think you're a man of honor. You're a man of your word. You're a man filled with empathy for everyone. And I have not seen in my 60-odd years of life somebody with your compassion, your empathy, your willingness to really help people out when they're at the bottom of their lives, perhaps, or in the worst moments of their life. Thank you so very much, Mr. Moore.
Thank you. So I'd like to treat people the way I would like to be treated, and to tell you I appreciate it, but it goes to the men and women that I work with, and I'm just one that is seen, but they have the same empathy that I do, as well as all the law enforcement officers and the court staff, so we have a good team.
Sorry about your Yankees.
I knew you were going to say it. Well.
But his next-door neighbor, by the way, is Aaron Nola, so...
Around the corner neighbor now.
Yeah, okay. All right.